Hi, all, and welcome back to Mindful Minds. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today, we're going to be talking about all things astrology with Kira Taborn of At The Astrology. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I wanted to have this episode. I was just talking to Kira beforehand about, for me personally, when I left religion, I was looking for something spiritual, something that I could still practice spirituality in. And I didn't want to be doing that in the confines of a church. And the first thing I did post leaving religion was dive pretty headfirst into astrology and crystals and anything that I could find spirituality in. And it felt very freeing and very healing to be able to practice that under my own rules and without the kind of control of the church. And I've gotten a lot of questions and comments from people and from the audience about, I still want to have some sort of spirituality in my life, but I don't know how to do that outside of a church. And so I thought, well, let's dive into astrology. And I have been following Kira for a little while. And I don't know. I like the way that you structure your page. I think that it comes off welcoming. And I think that sometimes astrology can kind of feel really daunting because it's a lot of information. It's kind of big. There are people who are like really like experts on it, and it can feel a little bit scary to dive in as a beginner. And so I wanted to have you on to talk about kind of a breakdown of astrology, talk about some history. What is it? How do you get started and kind of dive into that? But before we get started with that, do you want to give a little bit of your background on you and why you started your page?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. So I've been doing astrology for a while now. I was kind of one of those kids who was always just like into astrology. Like, I don't know if those kids are a thing, but I was, I just always knew I was a Scorpio. I don't know when I found that out, but since I was a kid, since I was pretty young, I always knew that. I was kind of known in middle school for being astrology obsessed, and you know, I would ask girls who their crushes were and when their birthdays were. And I just knew everyone's birthday growing up. But about a decade ago, I saw my chart for the first time and just became totally obsessed. And yeah, I have been pretty obsessed ever since. My practice is sort of rooted in the Hellenistic tradition. So, rooted in traditional astrology, although I would say my practice is more contemporary. It's more of a blend of modern and traditional, but it's very much rooted in the tradition, in the Hellenistic tradition, I should say, as opposed to like a more modern astrology. This is kind of what you see, like more mainstream as modern astrology. And I just, I don't know. I started my page, my Instagram, just because I was becoming more and more obsessed, and I wanted to have a place to kind of put, you know, any of my astrology content that wouldn't like bother other people in my life. You know, I was working in advertising. I went to art school. I was working in advertising, and it just didn't, at the time, didn't feel like I could blend those aspects of myself. So I kind of separated them and made an astrology page. So I wouldn't, you know, annoy people on my Facebook and stuff like that. And it just kind of went from there. And I actually got the confidence to go for full time when I was working in advertising, and I had a Slack channel. I was working in a big agency that was worldwide. So I had the Slack channel that I would just post. I was just write about astrology and posts, and people from honestly all over the world in different offices were following my channel and telling me they loved it. And it kind of gave me the confidence to start writing and pursuing astrology full time. So eventually I did do that. And since March of 2020, I've been full time astrologer. But I've been working in the industry for about 7 or 8 years. Yeah, about 7 years now. So, I podcast, I teach, I do, you know, client work, and I do consulting. I've worked on apps and stuff like that. I don't know if I answered your question totally, but
yeah, no, that's super cool. I'm sure that that's really fulfilling to have something that started as a passion when you were really young actually evolve into a career. That's like everyone's dream is to have their hobby, something that they love, turn into a career.
Yeah, it is. It is wild. I kind of have to remind myself that.
Yeah,
sometimes.
No, and to like affirm your whole like, are there astrology kids? I was a nanny for 8 years, and I had a kiddo every single day that would walk up to me and be like, "You're a Taurus, and I'm a Taurus, and like that's what this means." And like, dive into it, and I like would tell like she was five and would walk around to everyone and talk about God. You know. Her sign and what everyone else's sign was. And I'm walking into it like pretty blind, just learning from a 5-year-old. But that's yeah, so can you give us a little bit of, I guess, as much of a crash course as you can in a little podcast excerpt? Cause I know one of the things that I was always taught about, astrology. And I guess for the audience, because I've never spoken about astrology on my podcast ever. So for context on my background in terms of, I have no background, I know nothing. So it's not, I'm not coming into this with expertise whatsoever. But for a lot of religious people, including myself, I grew up being taught that astrology was a sin and that it was bad and that it was woo-woo and it was like of the devil. And so like we were never taught it at all. And then I hit college and started to deconstruct, started to kind of exit religion. And I was still kind of like had a foot in religion, but was not following a church, I guess. And I had the thought process. I actually started listening to Chatty Broads, the podcast that no longer exists, sadly. But I was listening to Chatty Broads and they had Jessica Lanyadu, I think is how you say her last name. They had her on. Lignato, yeah. They had Jessica on, and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And it hit me of like, okay, well, if God made like all of the planets and the sun and the moon and the stars, why can't those influence us? Why can't that all be connected? And it kind of hit me of like, okay, wait, why is this a sin? This is kind of a goofy thing to call a sin. And so I started like trying to dive in. Like I looked at my birth chart. I was trying to kind of figure it out. I like bought some crystals and was trying to kind of figure out, okay, how do I like make this a form of spirituality that I feel comfortable with? And to be totally honest, I got like a little overwhelmed with it because it was so much information that I kind of bailed. But one of the things that I heard while, kind of doing very light research on what astrology was I had always been taught that the horoscopes were so goofy. And that was like, oh, like it's God is who controls your day. Like it's silly to look at a newspaper and have a horoscope decide if you're going to have a bad day or not. And I heard from someone that like astrology is not meant to just tell you. It's not necessarily like oh, your day is going to be this, your month is going to be this, but it's rather like someone informing you and giving you more information about, hey, you might be more prone to this in the next month, or you might, maybe this might come up. And if it does, maybe just keep your eyes and ears open and like be aware so that you can just basically enter with more awareness and more knowledge. And that it's basically just helping give you more of like tips and guides compared to giving you a, this is how your life is going to be. You have no control. The horoscope says your day is going to be bad. Mm-hmm. Your day is going to be bad. It's more of a, you know, your relationships might feel a little bit like this. Like maybe pay attention to that. Feel it in your body. Like it just is more awareness. Do you think that's an accurate description of how to approach astrology?
Yeah. I mean, I literally just finished, right before we hopped on here, I was recording my weekly forecast episode that I do. And it's essentially that. I mean, the way I think most astrologers look at astrology is it's more of a as above, so below. It's not a as above and therefore below. It's not a cause and effect thing. I personally kind of look at it as just, like synchronistic, I guess. What's happening up there is also happening down here, just different scales. So it's sort of like fractals, you know, you look at something on a big scale and then you kind of can keep zooming in. And we can look at that from, you know, all aspects of layers of life. So these huge planets that from our perspective, look like they're spinning around us, that can then, we can kind of look at that and look at the patterns, which is what astrologers have been doing for thousands of years, is kind of taking the patterns of the planets into account and seeing what also happens down here when certain things are happening up in the sky. And just tracking those patterns. That's really all astrology is it's a way of, it's like a time art, you know, it's a way of tracking time and patterns throughout time. So when astrologers are forecasting, it's literally like a weather forecast. When we're forecasting or, you know, doing horoscopes or anything like that, it really is about, okay, so, you know, this is what's coming up. And from our knowledge of tracking these cycles for 4,000 years, we can kind of make predictions or forecast what might come. And we can do that in a broad general sense, you know, just about here's the energy of this time or this moment. We can do that more specifically to everyone who was born under, a Virgo rising chart. We can do that even more specifically to your chart in particular. And but yeah, we can talk about that too, what your birth chart is.
But yeah, no, everything that I grew up with regarding astrology was just basically informing, I guess kind of like dragging on it, because it was framing it as this is something that people live by, and it basically just makes them live pessimistic lives, because if they see something as bad, then it must be bad. And from when I've actually like looked into the astrology community and people that like really do practice astrology and believe in it, no, none of them are coming off like pessimistic. If anything, like all of the accounts I follow are like, here are ways to like brighten your week this week. Like if you have like, if this is what's kind of coming up, here are ways to recenter yourself. And it actually is a relatively optimistic field, despite the fact that it kind of gets like a bad reputation for being this pessimistic doom and gloom. Oh no, my horoscope said I'm going to have a bad day. I'm going to have a bad day.
It is interesting. I mean, I'm not a horoscope girly. I never really read my daily or anything like that, even though I've written them plenty of times. But it is an interesting, I guess what I will say is like, there are shitty astrologers out there, right? There are people who are, you know, doom and gloom, you know, just say things for clicks and, you know, all that. They're definitely out there. But most people who care about astrology and like, you know, approach it with more respect. It's people love astrology. People who do astrology, astrologers, I should say, do it because we've gotten a lot out of it in our lives and we just want to share that. And so most of the time, yeah, you're going to get people who are trying to help you work with the energy and use it to your benefit as opposed to just kind of scaring people with it, which again happens.
Shitty people in all fields. Like, you're never going to have one field that everyone's just fantastic and an expert. You're always going to have a few people who are just hopping on for the money and the clicks and are, you know, exactly, kind of making everybody else look bad. But yeah, do we want to dive into a little bit of some of the basics? We can start with birth charts if we want to start there and kind of dive into what those are, what they mean.
It's such a cool thing to be able to look at your birth chart. It's essentially a snapshot of the cosmos at the time that you were born and from the perspective of where you were in space. It's almost like we were able to go back into the delivery room or wherever you were when you were born, you took your first breath. And on that moment, it's almost like we're looking at, you know, the entire cosmos or our entire solar system, and taking a snapshot of what it looks like from the perspective of where you were on Earth from that moment. And essentially the idea is that, you know, when you breathe in your first breath, you know, independent of the person who gave birth to you, when you have that sort of separation, you breathe in the energies of that moment and it sort of becomes crystallized within you. So the birth chart is just a 2D representation of that moment. And I like to think of it as almost like, you know, a blueprint of your life, or like, you know, your fingerprint. It's kind of unique to you. And it, well, what a birth chart is, again, that's what it is. It's this 2D sort of representation. But what you're looking at when you're looking at a birth chart is essentially, it's like the outer wheel is the zodiac belt. So the zodiac belt, this 360-degree belt of constellations that is sort of encircling us in the sky or in the heavens. And what it is it's like the backdrop of the sun's path through the sky. So we watch the sun rise every morning on the east, you know, rise all the way up to the top of the sky to around noon. And then it starts to set in the west, sets on the western horizon. Then it appears to sort of go beneath us, rise again on the east in the morning. So that path, the ecliptic, that the background of that path is the zodiac belt. And all the planets take that same path. They're all, you know, relatively on that same sort of belt of sky. So yeah, the zodiac belt, 12 constellations, zodiac, because zoo, is related to, it's a root word related to animals, and it's like a belt of animals. And the 12 signs, I like to think of them as like, like 12 different like environments, 12 different countries or lands, you know? And we have our planets. We have the 7 visible planets, which we refer to the sun and the moon as planets, in astrology. So we have our 7 visible planets, the sun, the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. And in traditional astrology, those are our major players. Those are the ones that we work with. Then we have Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, which are our, we call outer planets. Those are non-visible planets, which obviously are more modern because we only discovered them in the past 150 years. I mean, I definitely still use them. I just don't use them in the ways that modern astrologers do, which is as rulers. So we'll say like Pluto rules Scorpio and Uranus rules Aquarius and Neptune rules Pisces. I don't do that. And I advise people not to do it, but that's just me. But anyway, so we have our planets, and at any given moment, you know, our planets are in a certain part of the zodiac, right? They all have different orbital lengths and different, you know, cycles. And so at any given time, they're somewhere in the sky, and we measure where they are in the sky by which zodiac sign they're in. Even NASA does this, right? That's how we just mark where the planets are in the sky. So we have our signs, and then we have our planets that are in a certain sign at any given point. And then we have our houses. So the houses in astrology are essentially just, taking our sky, and dividing it into 12 parts. So, starting with the eastern horizon and kind of going down from there underneath the earth all the way to above the earth. There's 12 houses. In the 12 houses, people always get so hung up on the houses in astrology. And they're like, I don't get it. You know, the houses, they just correlate to different areas of life, basically. So we have our 12 houses. At any given time, the planets are in one of the signs, right? They're also going to be in one of the 12 houses, which are just parts of the sky. So again, like if any planet is rising on the east, if any planets are going around the eastern horizon, they're going to be in the first house. If any planet is in around the western horizon, that's the 7th house. So it's kind of like that. And then we have our aspects. And aspects are just a fun word for angles, basically. It's for measuring how the planets are interacting with each other. So what angles the planets are making to each other. Are they in a 90-degree angle to one another? That's a square. if they are in a 120 degree angle to one another, that's a trine aspect. So the different aspects, I like to say it's just like how the planets are speaking to each other, the type of conversations they're having. And yeah, that's a fourfold system, planet signs, houses, and aspects. That is the system that makes up the astrology that, you know, we all use today. And that system was sort of developed in the Hellenistic period, which is, again, the tradition that I follow, the Hellenistic tradition. So, it's really the root of astrology as we know it. And that's why I love it so much. That's why I love learning about Hellenistic astrology, is because that is a time period where the system that we use today was developed.
That's super interesting. And specifically, I'm interested in if you have an answer for this. I know that I have my birth chart pulled up, just for kicks and giggles. And honestly, it might be wrong because I actually don't know my exact birth time, which I know like genuinely does fuck it up, but I have like an estimate. But I have done it with my accurate birth time before. And I know like I always, you know, if you go to a birthday party and it's like, oh, I got you a this because your son is in this. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, I don't relate to this at all. The little fun description that they have on the back of the necklace, right, or like whatever. I know that your son is often what is more mainstream in terms of, oh, you're an Aquarius, you're a Pisces, you're this. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I'm going to give you this because this is how you are. And I know for me, when I first started looking into astrology, I was like, I don't identify with this at all. Like, this does not feel like who I am in the slightest. I'm so confused. And then I found out what my moon was and I was like, oh no, that hits home. Like I think that actually is pretty accurate. Is there a reason why the sun has become the mainstream like identification for astrology? And is that an accurate way to like classify yourself by just going by your sun? Or does that kind of like, is that not smart to disregard the rest of the chart?
Yeah, so there is a reason. There's a guy. It always starts with a guy. Alan Leo, he made sun sign astrology popular about 100 years ago. Up until, like, astrology has a very long history, and throughout its history, it's gone from, you know, being times where it's very popular, like it is right now, to times where it's been totally, like, pushed out of the mainstream, and, you know, you can only do it on underground, you know, especially the church did a lot of that too, demonized astrology for a while. So there's been a lot of popular times and a lot of very unpopular times for astrology. But up until more modern times, the most important part of the horoscope or of your birth chart, which, you know, I think most astrologers would agree with at this point, is your rising sign. Your rising sign is the one point in your chart that is directly correlated to you and who you are and your body and your identity. It's your rising sign, and the planet that rules that sign. So the rising is really important, and that's why the time is so important, because the rising sign is essentially what sign was rising at the moment on the eastern horizon, what sign was rising when you were born. And that is so important because what is the eastern horizon? It's a point where, you know, the sun rises. You can also look at that as a point of birth or rebirth, right? Which happens every day. This is kind of where it kind of can get a little bit religious. It doesn't have to be religious, but it depends on the cosmology you're looking at it from. But yeah, that eastern horizon point is so important because that is where earth meets sky, right? That's where the heavens meet the earth. You can also think of that as where, you know, spirit, sky meets matter, your body. And when you're born, when you take that first breath, that is said to be that moment where your soul is, you know, officially sort of embodied in your physical form. So that's literally, you know, the sky meeting the earth, the spirit meeting the matter. And we mark that moment of birth, and that's your birth chart. So that rising sign is especially important because it speaks to you and your soul, like, and becoming you becoming you, your soul kind of coming into your body, and crystallizing as who you are. So yeah, up until modern times, it was rising sign, and that's the most important part. And I still, I agree with that, and the planet that rules your rising. The moon is also really important, of course, and so is the sun. There was a guy named Alan Leo who, I guess at this point, astrology was like not very popular. This is like late 1800s, early 1900s. And then the spiritualism movement became really popular, which was basically talking to dead people. That was like a whole trend in the early 1900s. And this guy, Alan Leo, kind of repopularized astrology by making sun sign astrology popular, basically, just kind of delineating it down to your sun sign. He made like little magazines or like booklets or stuff associated with this. So that was sort of the birth of sun sign astrology. It's only been like this for about 100 years, believe it or not. So yeah, that's probably why I'm not like that. I'm someone who has been a proud Scorpio since I knew I was a Scorpio, and I was always like, you know, I am a Scorpio, blah, blah, blah. But once I learned that I was a Pisces rising, which I learned I was an Aries moon, like it all started to make so much more sense. And, another reason I'll say for the whole moon feeling more relatable to your sun, often that happens to people who are born at night. Not to say, I don't know if you are or not, but that's a thing, you know, for people born with the sun, we call them day charts. This is a traditional way of doing things, but when the sun is above the horizon, so you're born after sunrise or before sunset, you're a day chart. You might relate more to your sun, your sun sign. If you're born at night when the sun was, you know, past sunset, before sunrise. I say that so some people are like, yeah, I was born at 6 p.m., but I'm like, yeah, it was June. It was still daytime. So I say, you know, after sunset, before sunrise, then you're a night chart, and the moon is kind of takes over as the dominant source of light or source of consciousness. And you might relate more to your moon sign in that case.
All right, for those of you who've been here for a bit, you've heard me talk about my pup, Stevie Ray. When Stevie was a puppy, she had some undiagnosed food allergies that resulted in her being super itchy. Luckily, we found Scouts Honor. Scouts Honor's products are probiotic and are lifesavers for pups with sensitive skin, who are prone to itchiness, or if you just want your pup to have the softest fur ever. We exclusively use Scouts Honor and have for the past 2.5 years. We love their unscented shampoo and conditioner and their probiotic paw spray, which is amazing for Frito-Toe pups. On top of their amazing products, with every bottle bought, they provide a meal for an animal in need. If you have a pet, I would highly encourage looking into Scouts Honor. And listeners of the podcast can use the code MINDFULMINDS for 20% off of a purchase of $50 or more. Again, that's code MINDFULMINDS for top-notch doggy grooming. I have been asked from so many people, how did you start your podcast? The answer is simple, Buzzsprout. I had no production experience when I started the show, and I used Buzzsprout's blog and website to teach myself how to get started. Buzzsprout not only lists your show on all major streaming platforms, but you also get access to a website, audio players, and custom sound bites. If you are looking to launch your dream podcast or you're looking for a new platform, Buzzsprout is the way to go. You can follow the link in our show notes to receive a $20 credit towards your membership, and you will be supporting our show. Happy podcasting!
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think too, like I know I'm an Aquarius sun, and for me, if I actually did deeper reading on it, it made sense. But all of the fun, kitschy kind of like caricatures.
You're a rebel.
It was always like you go on TikTok and it's like, if you're an Aquarius, you love Fanta orange soda. And I'm like, I don't associate with that. And this does not feel like who I am. And I'd always be like, huh, this is weird. And it's a stupid way to try to like actually associate with it. But I used to always, especially like in my early college years, when I was actually like really kind of into it, I would have a hard time because I was like, oh, I don't actually fit in with any of these fun things. Or like they'd like make Aquarius stuff in a certain color and it'd be like, oh yeah, like Aquarius. And I'm like, I don't like that color. I don't like that design. Like this doesn't fit me. And I think part of that too is like, that you're just falling for the capitalism of it all, when it's like you're just now you're just buying things that really probably actually have no root in the science of it, and they're just trying to sell it and make it cute and shiny and fun. And with that being said, do you think that that's why he centered on the sun? Was that like an easier, I don't know, more like prepackaged way to say, hey, oh, here's your astrology, here's your sign. It's just, oh, we'll just focus on one. We don't have to get into all the nitty gritty of the birth chart. We'll just pick one. I can give you a cute little booklet, make you feel good. And like, what do you think it was just trying to make it simple?
Probably. Yeah. I actually think so. I mean, I'm not an astro historian. If anyone's interested in actually learning about this, Chris Brennan of the Astrology Podcast, which is like the best astrology podcast out there, he did a whole episode about Alan Leo and, you know, the invention of sun sign astrology. So if anyone's interested, just Google the Astrology Podcast and type in Alan, A-L-A-N, Leo, L-E-O. And you can learn more about this. Yeah, way more thorough explanation of the history. but essentially, it kind of seems that way. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I think over any field, over any time period, you always have something where people are trying to make it simple, put it in a package and sell it. Like it's mm-hmm. that happens with everything. But I want to circle back to, you said, I have this in our outline too, to talk a little bit about, for a lot of us who grew up in a religious background, I've already mentioned this multiple times, but we grew up with astrology being like villainized and critiqued. And you mentioned that the church did a lot of harm during a certain time period regarding astrology's reputation and kind of how it was perceived by the public. Do you have some background on the history of that? Like I was like doing like very light research, and I was like, was it misogyny? Was it like religious witch hunts? Like what kind of started the bad?
Yeah, it was the scientific revolution was a big part of it. It was science and it was religion. And I will preface this with, I'm really bad at details and remembering details of history and stuff like that. So I'm also going to, again, plug the Astrology Podcast. Did a whole episode on the history of astrology. I did an episode with Chris Brennan, my podcast, about the history and the revival of traditional astrology. So there's other episodes out there where we go deeper on this for those, especially those Virgo placements. I know you want to know. So let's see. There was the whole heliocentric versus how do you say this? What's the opposite of heliocentric? Earth-centric versus sun-centric. So basically, astrology is, how do I say this? We do astrology from the perspective of the earth, right? So we look at the sky, the heavens, the planets from the perspective of the earth. And that's how we do it. That's how it works. But this all started back before we knew that everything didn't revolve around the earth. Back before we knew that we actually live in a heliocentric cosmos, meaning the planets revolve around the sun. When I think it was Copernicus, I forget who it was. Don't quote me on this.
That's fair. Let's go with Copernicus.
I don't remember who it was. Whoever it was who figured it out, like, hey, by the way, you're wrong. These planets aren't revolving around the earth, they're revolving around the sun. When that happened, astrology, people start to look at astrology as like, oh, well, this is wrong because you're doing it the wrong way. So it can't possibly work, can't possibly be right. And that happened simultaneously to the church becoming more powerful and, you know, just wanting to be like, you know, this is, I think there's something to do with how do I put this? I'm like, so I wish I knew this better, because there was times where I could answer this question better, I think. But when I was deep in researching the history, but essentially it had something to do with the cosmos being this intelligent and like heavenly thing, but there was almost like layers of divinity, we would say. Whereas we would look at the stars, like, yeah, the stars as like super divine, as closer to divinity, to ether, to heaven, to God, whatever, because of their, how perfect they were, meaning they didn't change. The stars are always like static in the sky. And then the planets kind of come below that because they move, right? But they're also pretty divine. And so there's like these layers of divinity to that early astrologers kind of put on astrology. Yeah, I don't know. I'm like not great at answering this question. But I think
was it essentially, because I think I kind of like get what you're putting down to an extent, but was the layers of divinity like the suggestion, I guess, that planets were even partially divine, or that stars were even partially divine? Was that a little bit of a threat, like, to the church in the sense of like wanting God to be the center of divinity and nothing else?
Exactly. Yeah. Because if you go back to the roots of astrology and even back to like Babylonian times, like, it was, astrology was political first and foremost. It was used, you know, by kings to administer their kingdom, but, and, you know, for war and things like that. But it was also seen, like, the planets were seen as gods, right? They were seen as whether they were the vessel for the gods or the actual gods themselves.
God itself. Yeah.
When the planet would appear in the sky, it'd be kind of seen as an omen. So, it was very tied to, you know, spirituality and religion from the get-go. I think by modern, I mean like present day astrologers, a lot of us would say that astrology isn't inherently religious or spiritual, or maybe not inherently, maybe it is inherently, but it doesn't have to be. You don't have to subscribe to any sort of, because, yeah, it's not really a belief system. People say, do you believe in astrology? Oh, that's something you believe in. It's not really something to believe in. It's a tool that we use. It's a system. It's a language, what have you. But there's no belief system attached to astrology. It's just,
because the planets are going to do what they're going to do either way. And it's just up to you as to what you're going to take from it. I mean, it's not like if you believe, because in my opinion, with a lot of religion, if you believe God exists, there's no actual like proof. There's no hard concrete fact that he exists. So it really is just based on faith and faith alone. There are planets.
Yeah.
We know that. there is proof that there are planets. There is proof that they move. We're very aware of that. So that's not really something that there's no, you don't need faith to make the planets exist. They're already there.
And to track their movements too. Like, that's really all we're doing is we have thousands of years of empirical evidence that shows, you know, when Saturn is in Pisces, these events typically happen.
Yeah. You know, well, and that's the thing that's interesting too, is you've got like so much history to back it up, where it's not necessarily saying like, cause I know like I stopped looking at when Mercury was in retrograde because it became such a almost like fear mongering thing on the internet, where like I would see people post about it and be like, oh my God, Mercury's in retrograde. Get ready for like a shitty 3 months. And I'm like, oh my God, like, wait. Yeah. Cause they're like, we got the pre-shadow and the post-shadow, whatever, like all. And it was just like, okay. Like, but then at the same time, what really spooked me at one point was I went back, cause I did not know shit about astrology. I didn't know what my sign was until I was like 20, 21. And it was right when I was leaving the church. And I was happening to have like a really bad month and a lot of really bad things were happening. And then I was like, someone was like, oh yeah, well, Mercury's in retrograde. And I was like, okay, I don't know what the fuck that means. I don't know what that means. And I Googled it and saw the time, like the days and how long it was going to be and whatever. And I thought, I'm just going to like go back 4 or 5 years, look at the dates and see if it correlates with anything in my life. And I shit you not, every single bad event that's happened to me in my life has happened in a Mercury retrograde. And I'm talking like huge traumas, like deaths of people all happen within like this time period. And so then I was like, okay, well, now I'm not going to look it up. I don't want to know when it is. And so anytime I see someone post about it, I'll mute them, because I'm like, I really don't want to know, because I'm going to look for bad things. And if the bad things happen, the bad things happen. Bad things are going to happen, whatever. I don't really want to be super informed about it. because I don't want to be looking for it. I don't want to be like making bad things that don't actually, you know what I mean? Like when you're really tuned in looking for something that's going to be bad, you might make something into something bigger than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And so I kind of was like, okay, I don't really want to like look into it, because so much of Mercury retrograde, I think online can be very doom and gloom, can be like, prepare yourself for like a really bad time period. And everyone's kind of like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Even in workplaces, I've had the astrology Slack channel where it's like, Mercury's in retrograde, everybody buckle up. And it's like, okay, like this is so like daunting. And I just stopped looking. But at the same time, like, I think it can also be something where if you have a history and a pattern and you see, okay, well, during this specific time period, these things tend to happen to me. That also can be like very informative of like, if you looked at that without the planets whatsoever, if you took astrology out of it and you had someone come to you with a calendar and said, hey, or let's take menstrual cycles, literally menstrual cycles, you know, when your menstrual cycle is, I tend to get really cranky. I tend to get really hungry. I might get in more fights with my partner than usual because I'm really touchy and emotional and tend to be very snappy. That's informative for me. That helps me know how to approach that week and knows how to approach, hey, I might be cranky this week. I might be bitchy this week. Literally hand me a snack and tell me to go like take a breath, and I genuinely might be a nicer person. Mm-hmm. That's informative. It helps me know how to live my life in a way that makes it like brings more ease. And for some reason, I mean, I know the reason religiously. I know that there's anytime there's a threat to something besides the deity himself is informing us about something. Typically, specifically Christianity doesn't love that. Mm-hmm. That's not something that they enjoy. Right. But I think it's if it was anything else that didn't have to do with planets or anything, if we're just looking at, oh, this, you know, menstrual cycle, during my period, I'm cranky. That's not seen as like woo-woo or kooky. It's just like, no, that's just, I just know that this is a pattern. So I'm going to try to live my life according to the fact that, oh, this tends to happen during this time. Let's prepare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly that. And just for your point on Mercury retrogrades, I would be interested to see, because I doubt that it's Mercury fucking with you.
It's probably something else.
I mean, I know. Yes, and because I say that only because it's Mercury retrogrades usually aren't like traumatic. I mean, like traumatic things can happen for sure, but it's usually not the thing that's going to bring like
full-blown life change.
Yes, like over and over again. It happens 3 times a year, sometimes 4 times a year.
Yeah. And it wasn't like in every single one in the year there was something traumatic. It was like typically almost all the bad things in my life have happened in October. like repeatedly over like a 7-year span. It's always October. Like I have multiple anniversaries of like intense trauma that puts me in therapy for years.
You
that
know your,
always
your
happened in October.
Sign? You don't know your
rising? It says Aries.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say that sounds...
But that might not be accurate. I think I was born at 11 a.m. or 11:30. Like, and it says I'm on CoStar, which I know is like not reliable at all. but it says that your rising can change every 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I know I was at least born. I know I was like born in from somewhere from 11 to 12.
Okay. Yeah.
Like somewhere in that.
Right. That's probably around Aries rising then. Yeah. Especially around that time of year. That makes sense. Yeah. So
maybe it's October.
October would be Libra season and into Scorpio season. So 7th house, 8th house for you, which is relationship stuff. And 8th houses can be, trauma basically, and more difficult emotional stuff that happens. That's Scorpio would be your 8th house. So, and depending on what planets you might have that are getting hit around that time from, because, you know, in October, basically the sun will move through a certain area of the sky, but so will Mercury, Venus, you know, there will be other planets around there too. That could be, you know, aspecting certain planets of yours that are just like really tough, you know. Mercury retrogrades can certainly trigger some things, but it's usually just annoying. You know, Mercury is our trickster of the zodiac, and And we'll typically just make it so we have to do things over, or there's delays, or, you know, do things three or four times in a row. Just what happened to us earlier was very much Mercury about to station retrograde. So,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's super interesting. Cause I know, like, because of how often it's doom and gloomy on Instagram where people are like, Mercury's coming, prepare. And then combine that with the fact that, like, in my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, Mercury brings like trauma, like capital T trauma into my life. I always like viewed it as like, oh, brace yourself. Something horrible is going to happen. And never like, and I also like, I genuinely stopped tracking it to an extent because I'm a naturally very pessimistic person. And I was like, I don't want to like lock into this and feed into the online culture of the people who really are very doom and gloom about it and are very pessimistic about it. I was like, I'm already so naturally pessimistic. Like I am a horrible optimist. And so I don't want to give myself any more reasons to just, to be any more like, oh, it's all going to go wrong.
I was just going to say with how I like to talk about Mercury retrogrades, because I also get really annoyed with the doom and gloom aspect, because that's just not Mercury. Mercury is not a planet that brings doom or gloom. It's the planet of mental processing, communication. It has a lot to do with how we communicate information, essentially, how we take in information, process it, you know, and our brains make sense of it, and then how we therefore communicate it back out into the world. And so when Mercury slows down to retrograde, which happens every 3 months, essentially, it's a time for us to be able to kind of slow down, pause, and rethink things, review things, reorganize, retro, the R words, the rewords, I should say. For me, like, and then I always look at where what Mercury rules in your chart. So for me, I have my seventh house is Virgo. So seventh house is relationships and partnerships. Mine is ruled by Mercury. And for me, every single Mercury retrograde, without fail, I'm seeing people from my past. It doesn't mean like past lovers necessarily, but I'm seeing someone I used to be friends with or I haven't seen in a while. It happens every single Mercury retrograde for me because it's like the remembering, the redo or whatever of my relationships. And so it's always relationship oriented for me. Of course, you know, we almost all of us get the little Mercury retrograde things like tech acting up, you know, flights being delayed, that type of thing. It just happens. You lose your wallet. Like, those things happen. Mercury is a trickster. And the things that we use to communicate on a day-to-day basis, which we have a lot more gadgets nowadays, right, than we did maybe a couple thousand years ago, more ways of communicating. And so those things are going to become, you know, a little bit haywire, a little bit weird when Mercury is stopping and not moving forwards, moving backwards. So it's a really great time to sort of review things, redo things, kind of. I welcome Mercury retrogrades. I'm always like, great, we have this little like pause every season, every 3 months to kind of stop and go back and kind of, you know, fix or redo before we dive forward. And usually it's like, thank God I got time to to pause and redo this thing, because if we would have moved forward, then, you know, all these other issues might have come up. So I like to tell people to really welcome them and take advantage of them, because they are sort of these built-in periods of like rest and like refocus times.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because like I said, I'm a very pessimistic individual. And so whenever I have to redo things or things are inconvenient, I kid you not, it has never, ever, ever crossed my mind to think of it as like maybe I was supposed to redo this thing. Maybe I needed to take a second glance at it. That's never even like entered my brain space. I've always just been like, God damn it, I have to do this again. Fuck. Just get like immediately so pissed off. So that's an interesting perspective, because I'm not even kidding. That's never crossed my mind. And I mean, that's a much more productive way of living
in your life, I think. It's also like more optimistic, but it's definitely more productive. And I want to kind of, we're like kind of ending our time here, but I wanted to end on something kind of action and positive, you know, centered, I guess. We talk a lot about healing on this podcast, healing in like all forms, like physical healing, mental healing, emotional, religion, whatever. And I know that for a lot of people, especially leaving religion, they might go to astrology to kind of seek some healing from whatever trauma they've experienced in maybe in a religion or in mental health or in abuse or whatever, and are seeking something else. Because I think a lot of reasons why the people seek out religion is for healing, trying to find something to make sense of things, trying to find something, some reason, something to make it a little bit better. Do you have any advice or I guess just like wisdom about how you can use astrology for healing purposes, if that's kind of what you're seeking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I will just say like astrology totally saved my life. And I think it's such an incredible tool for folks who have religious trauma. If I should say, you know, you're approaching it with in a way that you're not replacing, you know, religion with astrology, because it's not a replacement and it's not a religion, right? It's not something you believe in, but it's something that it's a tool that can really aid your spirituality and aid you in connecting to something bigger than yourself, which is how I see it. I think most people get into astrology because it is so validating. It is so good for self-acceptance, and just being able to sort of like, yeah, accept yourself for who you are. For me, that's what it was huge for, especially when I first started. It was learning, okay, yes, I'm a Scorpio and I have Sun, Mars, Pluto conjunction in Scorpio. So no wonder I'm like this, you know. It kind of is just like, okay, yeah, I'm not supposed to be like these other people. Like it says so in my chart. And that's the beautiful thing about, you know, seeing your own chart. When I saw my chart for the first time, I'll never forget it. It was just the most magical moment because it felt like being witnessed by the universe. Like, this is mine, you know, like this is not for anyone else. It's my chart. This is my map. And the fact that we all get one is just so cool to me. So yeah, in terms of healing, again, I say it saved my life because I really do think it did, just being able to accept these parts of me. But what takes it to the next level for me is the timing aspect of astrology. And that's like my forte is timing. And the fact that when I was, you know, 23 and like in one of the worst depressions of my life, and I was learning astrology, I could see an endpoint. That was so important to me. Like I could see, okay, this is what I'm going through right now. Saturn is hanging on my Sun and my Mars. And, you know, I know what this is. I could see it. And therefore I could see this is when Saturn leaves the sign and will not be on my Sun anymore. You know, like this is when this influence is over. Yes, it might be a year and a half away, you know, whatever. But I can see that this is going to end, and therefore I don't have to do any drastic thing, or I don't have to think that my life is over because I know that this is going to end. I know I'm going to feel different when this ends. So that in and of itself, the healing potential and just like knowing that time moves on and like literally having, you know, evidence that things are going to change, to me, that's so big. And then of course, learning about other people. Being able to accept other people for who they are by learning about them and their astrology is also huge. And there's so much. To me, it's the evidence piece of it. Of course, it's not like scientific evidence or data or whatever, but it's being able to see something outside of you and you know, I don't know, there's something about that is so helpful. It kind of helps you feel less trapped.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes so much sense. Like to have, I think one of the most brutal parts about any type of mental health struggle is the idea that, oh, fuck, this could last forever. Like, that's the part that feels so hopeless. That's the part that can really, like, I'm the same way, where if I feel like I have an endpoint, and I do it with everything. If I'm doing a job that I hate, if I'm hiking and I'm like, oh, fuck, okay, we got this many, how many miles left? How many miles left? Okay, I got it. As long as I can have like an end point and a finish line, I can keep going. But if it's something where I feel like it's going to last forever, that's when the hopelessness can set in. That's when I feel like my drive and my resilience become kind of non-existent. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, even if it was incorrect, I really like latched on to the Mercury thing in college, because same thing. It was like, okay, like when Mercury gets out of retrograde, like my trauma is going to chill the fuck out. Like, gave me a little bit of like, okay, I think this is going to end at some point. And it can really bring hope, even if for me, the hope was maybe a little bit inaccurate. It still was comforting. Mm-hmm. It just started hailing. But yeah, I think it can be like very calming and encouraging, especially if you feel like you're kind of in this endless pit of despair and you never know when you're going to get out. And then I would also echo, we've talked about this a lot the last few episodes of Mindful Minds, about trying really hard not to replace religion if you're getting out. Because I think that when you're in a very high control environment and you're so used to having an authority, it can be very easy to jump to another thing and make that thing your authority. We've talked about the pipeline from religion to abusive relationships, how it's really common for people to hop out of religion and then get into a very high control relationship because they're trying to make somebody else their God. And I think looking at it from a tool perspective, I've talked for a very long time about like adding tools to your tool belt. I think that's literally all that healing is. I think it's just adding more tools, figuring out how to use them, figuring out how it works for your life. But I would also just really encourage anyone who's coming out of religion, it can be very daunting and uncomfortable and weird and icky feeling sometimes to get out of a religion and be totally free and like have all of the decisions be yours. And it's very tempting to get right back into a situation where you want someone else calling the shots just so that it feels more comfortable and more like home and more familiar, because you miss those parameters. But once you get past that icky, uncomfortable part of feeling like I have too much freedom, this feels really scary and uncomfortable, it that does end, and it does get exciting to then be free and independent. And then that's when you can enter in and use all these different fun tools and figure out, okay, how does this work for me when I'm not just relying on the Bible? And that can be a really helpful thing. But thank you so much for coming on. I feel like I got a crash course, and I have been trying to understand astrology for years, and it like kind of was always confusing to me. And I'm a very like, I like when things are explained in logic and science. Like, that makes sense to me. And it makes it feel, especially growing up in an environment where I was told it was all woo-woo and fake and crazy, it makes more sense to me in the like, planets move and they're going to move no matter what. So what can we learn from that? But can thank you so much for coming on.
Do you mind if I add one thing?
Of course.
Just about what you're saying, just about control. And because I often like am honest about the fact that I think I know that I'm pretty obsessive about astrology, and learning about it is because of a semblance of control, you know, feeling like I can have some control over my life if I know what's going to be happening, you know, if I can kind of predict what's going to happen in the future. And that's not healthy. You know, I'm human. I feel like it's kind of a human thing to want that, but it is a big part of, you know, astrology for me. And so I just wanted to offer that, is that like, you know, it doesn't have to be that. And if you see yourself, just be mindful as you're getting into it, around what you're using this information for and like how you're engaging with the information. And I also just say like, follow, read, or whatever, multiple different astrologers. Like, don't just follow one person. Don't just go get readings for one person. You know, have a variety in the types of readers that you're getting information from, because, and if something doesn't sit right with you, then drop it or get another opinion. yeah, it's astrology is hard because it's not really like there's a ton of accreditation or, you know, there's not like the big people in the field that you know are great. There's so many different types of astrologers, so many different types of astrology. I'm a huge proponent of learning traditional. Chani Nicholas is also a traditional astrologer and her app is, you know, I wrote for it. So I feel good about the Chani app,
yeah.
Things like that. But yeah, I just wanted to add that like it's easy to kind of replace religion with astrology in that way. And just be extra mindful, and find astrologers that you really vibe with, like their personality and the way that they put out information. If someone is putting out information in a way that makes you feel scared, then that's probably not the astrologer for you.
Right. Yeah. No, I think like that's been such a huge healing and learning curve post leaving religion is learning to trust your gut. Like, I think mm-hmm. that's like a thing that anytime you leave a high control environment, you're often taught to just trust whatever authority is there, whether that's a pastor or a book or a deity, you're just taught to blindly trust. And it can be very interesting to exit that and then be like, oh fuck, I have like zero discernment. I don't understand how to trust my gut at all. I don't know how to look at a situation and say, ooh, okay. But I think it's also incredibly surprising how quickly your body takes over to an extent. I think everybody has inherently and like primally this like gut instinct of, oh, that makes me feel icky, that makes me feel uncomfortable. And it was very interesting to see how quickly that came back into action for me when I left religion. Was like, oh, okay, I'm getting feelings in my gut and this feels wrong. And okay, I don't think that's the Holy Spirit. I think that's me. Like, let's yeah. figure out what that means. And I've read astrology things that I'm like, I feel wrong. I feel anxious. I feel uncomfortable. I feel threatened. Like it doesn't, and not from a perspective of, I feel like I'm growing and I'm healing and it's uncomfortable. It was like, oh no, this doesn't feel right.
Cough, cough, co-star,
dead ass. I was trying to get into co-star. You can link with all your friends. And then I opened one of my little like daily horoscopes and it was like, eat mac and cheese today. And I was like, you guys are full of shit. This is not real. Yeah, yeah. I was like, this is not real. Mac and cheese has nothing to do with my birth chart. This is stupid. But yeah, I think
when you have non-astrologers making astrology apps.
But. Yep. But yeah, I would just say trust your gut. It's amazing how quickly that gut instinct can come back once you give it the space to do its thing. It can come back very quickly and very strong. And pretty much every bad decision I've made in my life is because I didn't trust my gut and my gut told me something different. And I was like, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. So gut instincts it's always a learning curve, especially after leaving abuse or high control environments. It's a learning curve to figure out how to trust that again, but it's a fantastic tool. And I also want to give people a space to find you and your podcast and any other things you've been doing so people can keep following you if they feel like this is something that they want to expand more on and learn more about. So can you share a little bit about where people can find you?
Yeah. My Instagram is currently at the astrology. I'm trying to change it, but they won't. It's hard when you're verified, they don't let you change it. Because I'm trying to redo all my things. So on Twitter, I'm Kira World, KIRAHWORLD. TikTok, Kira.World. I don't post anything, so I don't know why I even said that. my podcast is called Cosmic Guidance for All. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find it on YouTube. And I host a membership called Jove's House where we do reading swaps once a month and a monthly gathering. And you also get access to my private Instagram. I'm like, what else do I do? I think that's mostly it. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of stuff. Props to you. You're busy. Awesome. Well, we will link all of that. I also, side note, I just went through the whole rebranding of changing your Instagram name and your website and your email. And it's such a pain in the ass. But thank you so much for coming on and also for making it work for the listeners. We've tried to do this
we've probably been Instagram DMing for like 5 months or something stupid like that, trying to make it work. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on. And I really appreciate just the thoughtfulness you put into your work and the intentionality. And it's so obvious from just like a viewer's perspective that this is so actually rooted in like a passion for you and not just trying to make a quick buck, which I really appreciate. It's so obvious that there's a lot of thought put into it. And so thank you for that and for just like taking the time as well.
Thank you. That's so sweet. And yeah, I'm happy we finally got to do this. This is really fun.
Yeah. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please rate us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify and leave us a review. You can also follow the podcast at Mindful Minds Pod and online at mindfulmindspod.com. And check out our Facebook group and keep your eyes peeled for our religious trauma sticker drop at the end of January. And as always, to end our time, unclench your jaw, take a deep breath, and remember, you can always learn, you can always grow, and you can always choose to live your life in a more mindful way. I will see you guys next week.